This morning we have a time of being able to read the scriptures together this morning. Jason Smith, which is a brother of mine in Christ, but also a brother of mine by the law, this morning is going to come and read our passage this morning in which we'll be preaching the Word of God. And but just before he comes, I just wanted to say that he is truly one I believe loves the Lord. He's our head usher as well as one of our board members here at the church, helps teach with our juniors, and serves the Lord, loves the Lord with all of his heart. And he's going to come for us at this time and read the Word of God for us this morning and have us set and ready. And when he gets done, my lovely wife is going to come and sing for us, and then we'll preach the Word of God. Okay.
Today we're going to read out of 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians 12 and 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bound or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smell? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if thy were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Now much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble or necessary, and those members of the body which were think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncommonly parts have more abundantly comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the parts which lack, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular.
by the flesh itself.
everything was just shattered into hundreds of pieces in his leg. And it had to be severe for one doctor of his expertise to say, let's cut him off. There's no hope. And for another to say, what do we have to lose? Let us try if he is willing. And that's what they did. This doctor went in and did this reconstructive surgery and put these small fragments, these different fragments in different places, and he very carefully, through extensive surgery, took these bones that had been scattered to and fro, and he placed them back in their original place, and some of them in new places, hoping that what they would do would come together and form a union and form a structure that would enable this man to be able to walk upon his legs once again. And that is what happened. And that man was walking on his own two legs when he told me the story, with no help other than of God. And he wasn't walking around crippled. Now, I want to share with you this morning exactly what God... It is a honor and a delight, a pleasure and a privilege beyond your imagination what it means to me this morning to be able to share this burden with you, that it not just be mine alone, but it be ours together. And I cannot wait for this moment. I've been waiting. Well, if I could have started church last night, I would have called you all in. Come one, come all. And let's start our service. But I'm so glad you're here. And I believe the ones that need to hear this message are here this morning. This morning, I want you to look at the Word of God, and I want you to go to our reference this morning, which Brother Jason read to us. But I want to add one verse to you this morning, and it begins in verse 6. We're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 6. The title of this message this morning is Operation Fusion. Operation Fusion. Not confusion, but fusion. And I will guarantee you one thing this morning, if I'm honest. If you lend God an ear this morning, you will not leave confused, but you will leave fused. Are you up to the challenge? I know that you are. I believe in you. Operation Fusion. Now, mentioning operation, if you'll look with me in verse 6, I want to show you God is all over this message. And there are diversities of operation. Now, he is referring to the body, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. In all of the operations, God works. And he's talking about the operation of the body and our purpose. And you probably already know that most of my messages here of late have been directed to growth and unity. And I believe I'm going to cap a series this morning of what God has put on my heart with one of the most critical messages this church may have ever heard or may ever hear. This is a turning point in our present, past, and future.
Amen.
This message, what we do with it will, and you will see the relevance in this statement, will either make us or break us. And you can take that to the bank. Now, Operation Fusion. Operation Leaven. If you see here the operation, go with me to the first point in which this man told me, and I will share with you this morning, in verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body. That brings me to my very first point this morning. Set the members. Set the members we find in verse 18, but I want to give you, and I will show you a parallel throughout this sermon this morning. Number one, set the members. The doctor took each fragment of his bone and very carefully placed them exactly where it is they would fit and where they would be worked and where they highest and potential way in order to form one bone or one body. That's a minute. Individually, understand this morning, we can collectively have worship, we can collectively have church, but it starts individually. If you are not prepared and ready individually, we cannot and will not come together collectively. Number one, set the members, God does, put them in a perfect place for their place. Number two, tempered the body together. Look at verse 24. But God has tempered the body together. Do you know what tempered means? It means to be hardened. But it also represents what it takes in order to come together to form one tough, hard, dynamic being. A lot of times you think of temper, those of you who have worked with steel, you heat the steel. You dip it in oil. And you temper and you harden the substance. You have tempered glass. All of you have it on your oven. The glass has to be tempered and go through a heat treatment mixed with other organisms in order to form a very tough but solid glass to be able to withstand the heat and the abuse that it will have in the days to come. So not only does he put the body together specifically, but he actually takes the body and tempers it in order to make it strong. It means that he mixes members in order to accomplish his task. And if I don't stand before a crowd of mixed members and mixed denominations and mixed churches that have come together, I will never stand in the. He has began the tempering process to make us stronger than we ever have been. To make us not to grow to acquire, but make us grow in order to be. He is tempering us, making us stronger. Remove your question and remove your doubt this morning, and know that God is at work. Follow him and stop asking questions. Follow the greatest leader that has ever lived and ever lived. He's always been the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I cannot think of one better who to serve, who to give my allegiance to, and who to follow all the way into the kingdom in which he has built. Now, if you will look at our third verse. Verse 25, God's all over this church. He has blessed and anointed this message, and I trust that he's done the same for his messenger. So this is a message of God, if I have ever seen it. He never ceases to amaze me, and that is on a weekly basis. Verse 25, that there should be no schism in the body. Schism means there should be no separation. There should be no division. That the parts must come together and be united with nothing in between. And you're going to find this very interesting, so stop what you're doing and watch this. He explained to me that this doctor told him it was most valuable that he would have the members that were set in place, tempered, put together in order to be strong, to be strengthened, and to become, not to acquire. He said, there must be no division. There must be no schism. There cannot be no separation in order to go to where we are going. For this to be successful, there is only one way, and it is to come together. Togetherness, hand in hand, one body, one force, even though the members are different and they look that way on an x-ray. When we come together, we are one body, we are one force, and who can be against us if God? God have a witness.
Amen.
Amen. We are fighting in the strongest army and the greatest force this war has ever seen. The numbers could be innumerable, like grasshoppers, upon the stars and the sand of the sea. But one mighty army of Israel could triumphantly walk into the enemy's territory and become conquerors and overcomers, with everyone else doubting who they are and what they were. I will tell you, you walk with God and you will experience the power. You will experience the overcoming ability that we suffer. And we need to stop looking into a mirror so much at what we see on the outside and give God what it is we have to offer on the inside, for that is what we will be judged by. Now I see where this is very relevant in this chisel. Chisel represents where the bones were broken. They have been shattered. And I will tell you this morning, there are people in these congregations who are here in a result of shattered lives, shattered churches, shattered people, people who did not do their job, people who did not answer to God, they answered to themselves. They did not mortify the deeds of their body. They did not die to those deeds, but they bore the name of Christ, took it upon themselves, and they lived for themselves. And you cannot bear the name of Christ and live the life you've been living. You cannot make exceptions. You cannot mix and mingle in the world. It is one way, the only way, and His name is Jesus Christ. You need to meet Him, greet Him, and live your whole life for Him.
Amen.
There can be no schism in your life, in your Christianity, nor can there be schism or separation in your church family, because we are one. That being said this morning, he explained to me further in his story one of the most vital, important parts of his design. And it was that the bone must come together and meet where it has been broken. It has to come together so close that it touches. Because listen to this, church. If you miss all that I have ever said, don't you miss this. We can get this close, and we will not unite. We will not form what it is we have been called to do. The bone must come together. The bone must touch. Because one of two things is fixing to happen in that bone and in this church. Ready? This is why it's so critical. Because the bone must come together and touch in order for it to fuse together, to have fusion of the bone, that it be reunited, may it be touched together and form a power that will withstand the weight of this man. Now that being said, what is the alternative? If the bone does not touch and it gets this close, it will begin a film instead of a fuse. And may I submit to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, there are these people that are this close to Jesus, and you're developing a film and not a fuse. Hear me this morning. You know enough just to make your body immune to what it is He's trying to do. Do you understand that you're categorized and classified as the toughest people to win to God? I can win an atheist before I can win. You understand? And you understand that a church that is just closed and never truly fuses together, never truly comes together, all the parts that God sent never come together and became one body, is the worst church you could have, because what they're doing really proves that there is a God, but what they're not doing is proving that there are still people who are not willing to commit and surrender their lives completely to God. And because you carry the weight of God and His principles, people will watch you and they will listen to you because you're the real deal. But we are the the worst church there could be if we are not willing to come together. Because it will display one thing that has displayed itself more times than not. We are this close than we believe. And because of that, hope for many will be gone from us. People and staff will have to change because it's real. The only way to resurrect something like that is to change and roll over and to start over. And I will tell you this. I can't start this journey again because it's taken everything I've got. You hear me this morning? I can't start this again. It is taking every ounce of who I am and who I ever wanted to be to start this journey with God. And there is only one way to serve Him and only one way I am healed, and that's all the way of none.
Amen.
I want to know who is with me in this church.
Amen.
I am the under shepherd of God. I am the God. I don't want any God. Because if I had a God, there's a lot of people I just wanted to kill. You know what I mean? I mean, you don't want me to be God. But one thing, if you with me, we together, I'll take care of you, groom you, treat you good, kiss you, love you. But I'll tell you what, when you cross me, I'll zap you. I'll cut you out. Oh, heathen, hypocrite. I can't stand hypocrites. You believe that? I can't stand a gospel either. I can't stand it. You know, I really... I can't stand it. I've been looking for the Lord to give me away in the Bible to put somebody in a chokehold, but I can't find it. He said we couldn't hear this preacher, but I don't see nothing wrong with a submission hole. Amen.
Amen.
I kind of followed the figure four when I watched it later. You'd have to beat the mat a long time before I turn you loose. Amen. But here's the thing. Y'all come on back now. Preacher ventured off. He got vulnerable. Don't you pay that no money. Let's get back to what he's saying here. No schism in the body, no separation. Will you understand something with me this morning? Man to man. Human being to human being. Christian to Christian. Believer to believer. Just come up stand on the stage that might be even greater than you are. We're all the same. There is no respect for persons. And you know what blows my mind? The people that sit in this congregation and never accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and you know that the Lord is looking up to the 99 and says, they're okay right now, but it's going out to you because you're more on his mind right now than I am. And when I require more all of his attention, he says, you're going to have to excuse me there for that. I'm there for you if you need me, but I've got to go get the reason I'm saying it back. And he's looking for you. He won't spend time with you on this day, and that's why we're going to speak to heaven. He wants to meet you, reach you, love you with all that he is. And I'm so glad that I saw that. Because I missed that many years in my life. God is real. And the decisions we make for him is just as good. Understand this morning that these bones have to be close enough together to form, to bond, to unite, and become one. Guess what happens if they get close enough and they develop a film? Guess what happens? If they would have, the man told me if they would have never formed in this land, they would have had to have gone on and formed an application. Do you know what's happening across America? Can I just speak for our country this morning? Let me tell you what's happening in churches. Let me tell you what the potential threat of this church is. Three alternatives. Can I give you one to begin with? Apostatic church. Apostatic church. To where we lose our limbs and the members of our body and we have to replace them with apostates. It's an artificial limb, isn't it? And you tell me in God's Word whether something can be artificial for God. Now, understand. I understand you may have a prosthesis this morning. morning. If I need one tomorrow, I'm going tomorrow. You believe that? I'm not talking about the physical coffee. I'm talking about the spirituality of God's church. That is what I'm referring to. So understand it this morning. But I will tell you this morning that you want to know why people meet this morning, and they meet a lot of great people, but they never meet God. You know, tell you why? It's prosthetic church. What they are doing and the way they are functioning is not the way God originally planned, but they are operating and functioning on a prosthetic ministry. And did he not say it takes the entire body? It takes every one of us. You stop your pinky toe and see if the rest of your body don't bow down and cry. Amen? There's no reason I should have 10 toes. I should have 4 on each one. I have hung my pinky toes on some ungodly stuff. Made me think ungodly things. And I will tell you right now, you hit that pinky toe and see it's a whole body. I weigh 255 pounds on a good day. But I will tell you this right now. It'll put my whole 255, 6'3", all that I am, on a bed or on a floor somebody. I'm telling you, every member of the body is relevant. And guess what you are as believers in Christ? You are a member of the body, and every member is necessary. Will you look with me down in verse 22? Look at the last two words of this verse. Are necessary. Guess what you are this morning? You are necessary. It's going to take you and me, and him and her, everybody, everyone who will form the body. It will take every one of us to stand together, to be united, that we get close enough to God, that will bring us close enough together, that we will form a union. We will form a union that will not fill us, but will join us, and we will serve God, walking triumphantly into his kingdom, taking all of those who will go with us. And I tell you this morning, if you think I'm blowing smoke, come hang out with me a little while. I will tell you, this is nothing more to my heart, and I will sleep like a baby sometime this afternoon, but this is really important to me. It's not just my burden, now it's time. Amen? But guess what? We can do it. Has he ever called you to do something he hasn't equipped you for? Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. I shared with you the prosthetic member. Let me show you the crippled member for a moment. Ready? If you don't accept forming what you've got, and you don't want a prosthesis, it cripples you, putting you on crutches, a cane, or a wheelchair. And now tell me how someone who is crippled spiritually in God's church can, do we have the power that we could have? No. People will tell you who's in a wheelchair right now, and on crutches, they are not as powerful as what they were or could be. Even though they hate the predicament they may be in, they will tell you about the truth. And I tell you this morning, how can we as a church be crippled on crutches and wheelchairs and still have the power that God has given his church? Tell me how you can live a life of God though you have agents and different circumstances that cripple you and ruin your testimony and you are power. We have lost your effectiveness with people. And in God's church, what a miserable way to live your Christian life. And I'll tell you, all we need to do in this church now is get close to one another, look into the face of God and speak to it every day. And say, God, you have given us different members from different places. Unite. Unite us. Put us together in order that we don't grow a film and become prosthetic as a church. You know why people are coming here? You know why people are being, why 44 people were baptized in the last 2 years, and why members are taking place, and why God is doing it? Can I share with you this morning that's happening? Because God is blessing what we have done. But in order for God to continue to bless us, it is not who we are, but who we will be.
Amen.
God is not blessing this church anymore because of what we've done. He is blessing this church in order, and He sees what Lebanon Church can become.
Amen.
And because of that, He believes in us. All we need to do is believe in ourselves and believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And there will be a ministry explosion in this church like you have never seen. And from now on, people will not say the church is a mile past the prison, but the prison is a mile closer to the road from the church. Yeah, that's right. Because God wants nothing more than to reveal Himself to man. But He has a place to do it, and the people in which to do it, so this what's going to happen. Because there are more prosthetic churches and crippled churches out there than there are healthy ones. He knows where to get the job done because He is much wiser than anyone, especially us. So I say, let it flow. And let it go. And watch our Father work. I hope that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart this morning. We are necessary. We must be tempered. We must be set together, specifically, individually. But now I want to share with you the healing process as we wind down. Verse 26 says, "And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice in it." Guess what He just did? He took the members that He has set in place, said there can't be any division or any separation you must touch in order to heal. And now I'm going to take you and I'm going to wrap you up like a cast would a broken limb. And I'm going to contain and seal you in order that no more harm come in. But the only way harm can take place is this. I told my wife, my son has a broken arm. She said, he don't need to be running on that sliding board like that. He may hurt his arm. I said, the arm and the cast is safer than the one without. So bang it, beat it, just don't hit me with it. You know that a church that's been set together and cut together, I believe that He has done in Lebanon Church, or else He would not have given you this message at this particular time. You are necessary. He has the teachings that He needs to form a church to have unity and have everything we need. And He is casting it up in order that no one can bother us from the outside. But it is up to us in what we do here on the inside. And now the question is up. To see if we're going to suffer together and also rejoice together. Can I share with you what happened when Brother Earl Wade Caldwell passed away? You know Wade. You remember Wade well. This has relevance too, and this is God all over. Just stay with me, okay? Would this have to stay awake?
Woo!
All right. I had to get that out somewhere anyhow because I felt so good. Let me tell you what happened. This body, we don't understand why Brother Wade had to go like he was. He was ever hard of work for him that supported this church for 3 minutes. Understand when I say member, it doesn't mean you take an oath before the church. You're just a fragment of the body that God has put in. Understand? When you know what I have realized and what I believe the Lord has told me through Brother Wade, when you watch this and tell me if I'm wrong, let me tell you why and let me tell you what. The death of Wade Caldwell growed us more as a church than his whole entire life would. God doesn't make a mistake. He knows that it's true. Because, let me tell you why, in that memorial service, when we came in here and we stood, when we loved that song, I Pledge Allegiance to the Land, and I don't care if the songwriter's gay, because he is. He come out of the closet. You know that, right? will tell you this. Now, understand. Let me back up this for a minute. Let me clear my thing. I do care that he's dead. Because it ain't right. It's Adam and his seed, not Adam's seed. Okay. Now let's move on. Bible tells you what he's doing now has no relevance on what happened then. Now,
we're good.
We stood together. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb in his memorial service. Because he liked that soul, God orchestrated all kinds of things, and you know it. The man who could not be here to sing was here. People come together. One of the sweetest services I've ever been in my life. Certainly, by far, probably the best service I've ever experienced in this church. God was here, you can feel his presence. And everybody was in, watch this, one accord. There was no schism. There was no separation. There was no division. But there were different people standing together before one God. It said, in spite of our differences, in spite of what so-and-so has said and done, I love God, and that's why I'm here. But the primary reason that most people do or do not come to church is because of other people. And that's wrong, sucker! Don't you come to church because of a preacher. You got preacher religion. That won't get you into glory. Don't you come to church because old so-and-so is or ain't. That won't get you into glory. But when you come into this facility, we come to see and worship God.
Amen.
And that night we did. We pulled it off. But let me check you back. It's so good. Yes, I did.
Amen.
Did it pass?
No, I'm not.
Can I tell you why? I'm going to get out here up in the grid. All right? I'm with you. Amen. Why do you do that? Because, watch this, it was not funny. It was not orchestrated of ourselves. It's because an outside circumstance swelled up and pushed us. Let me tell you why this guy said his legs healed so well with the broken bone. Stay with me. Because he went deer hunting in his past and he wasn't supposed to find no cattle. But he went and he got back to the doctor knowing the doctor was going to chew him out and eat his lunch. And the doctor said, let me tell you what the best thing happened to you. Is that you went and you did. And this circumstance is taking place, and because of the swelling, it pushed the bones together. Forming! A fusion!
A fusion. And not a fusion.
What did Wayne Caldwell service do to this church?
It swung. Push us together. There was no feeling on that. There was no fusion.
So that's why he said, when I cast you up, and I touch your limb, and I touch you as the body in a cast, I set the peace. I've simply been making it strong because I've mixed up different ages to make it. I made you from a different church, you from a different family, you from a different color, you from a different whatever. I can't explain the other thing God did. I just don't want to be a part of it. That's the end of it. But he's perfect. He's already done that. He set the pieces, he's fixing it. He declared that you are necessary, and he has tested us up, and he has said, now when I bring the swelling, let it push you together, that you may form an allegiance and a lion stronger than you have. I'm telling you, the death of Mr. Caldwell, though I hate it as much as you do, made us stronger and made us grow more than he could have lived five lifetimes. And we base a lot of what people can do on their work. It is not the life they live. And the life you live is more valuable than any paper can do. It's pushed us together. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Beelzebub, Lucifer, Satan, the angel of light. So the Lord can let go of himself and see him in the physical form. And I will tell you, you got me on God with so sick and so strong in this body, he would have had it got thrown. Because you know why? We didn't leave on this. There's no gap, there's no place, there's no verse of film, you can't find it. You ever seen a solid object like a ball? You gotta go around it. You can't go through it. Just be formed. And we put that together. And if we don't do it after this message, please understand, we won't. Understand, this is why it's so critical. If it does not happen in the result of this message, not necessarily today, perhaps, but in the days to come, do you understand it will not happen? I will know in time to come where we're going and what we're doing. Do you understand? Because if this don't get it, I'm telling you, it's going to be God. So here comes the sweater, and guess what happens? And the good things happen up there. Not only do I want you to suffer the devil in time, but I want you to rejoice. And this is where it comes to a close. We're going to rejoice because of what he's doing in this place. We're not going to leave here down and out. We're going to leave here because we've been presented a challenge. And may I submit to you? Can I submit to you? Hey, y'all. Watch me. This God is working at Lebanon Church.
Amen.
And souls are being saved. Lives are being changed. Men and women who were maybe this close to the bar are living happily ever after. Children who were on the wrong path are just obviously just turned their lives around. It's getting gooder. There's no way a good English teacher could come to this church and enjoy herself. But glory, hallelujah. If you are, you should get to know that you're not going to. And here we go. But now here's where God comes down and he puts the cap on the feet because he's going on too fast, right? Everything's out there. And you've got the message. I can see your face. Sometimes I can leave you humble. Sometimes you say, you know, that makes sense. And you've got that look on your face. It's not the new cast at the gate. Looking at that new gate, right? But it's a bunch of people who, I believe, already knew this. They just needed to hear it. So this is where God says, let me show you where I've been and what I've done. Listen to me individually, brother. Christ is the second surgeon who has come into the operating room. And where for many years there has been a lot of doubts and a lot of eyebrows raised, can they do that? Is Lebanon just on the, are they just peeking out again? Well, there's a lot of people out there that say they don't want to laugh. And I say it will. And you know what? I'll die trying. Because it's not so much Lebanon's church, but it is his kingdom that I'm concerned about. He comes around the corner, and he's the second surgeon, and he says, may I scrub in? Because one doctor and one individual has told you there is no hope. And he says this morning, and I shut in, and do you mind if I come? Because I believe. I believe that I can. I believe that they'll go through the street and I have to walk. No man. No man. This is my heart. This is a message from God. And this message is for you, even if you're visiting for the first time, because they're on a tradition. It just means it's time to respond. They say, I am a member of this church, and I'm talking about Christ. But God's place is here. Am I going to do probably, let me tell you why most people, I know I'm going over, because I've got to get this out, I'm a church. You know why most people never move or change the church? When I tell you the story of your love and your relationship, you said they say about God. Let me explain. You've been praying for God to send somebody in need. You've been praying for God to send a leader. Praying for God to bring some people in who can teach you sound on the Word of God with fire and desire. And the very thing that you've been praying for, God has honored it. He has opened the door. And guess what you're doing at the church? You're praying about the Some of you are saying, God, I've been looking for you to bring my family. I've got a fifth spot. I've been praying for you to put me in a position where I could learn, where I could develop a relationship with you, where I could do this. And guess what he's done? And it's so blatant and obvious you can just see that. And guess what? You're reminding about the problem. And you know what? They're not making no more of it. You can't go back. And all you're saying is, I've answered your prayer. I've opened the door. Don't go. Don't go to God. And stop praying about the obvious. Did that man have to say, when the doctor came in and said, I believe I can save your leg, you don't have to go through the anesthesia? Guess what the last thing that man did on that operating table?
Pray. He didn't have to. God had done answered his prayer from way back when. God, take care of me and help me. Wherever I go and whatever I do, be there for me, Shepherd. Be there for me, healer. Help me, God. And God was helping him on the table that day. He did not have to tell that doctor from New York City, oh, let me pray about it. He said, get busy, brother.
And guess what you do? Members, you're laying on the table. And you're praying about it. And that's what God does give you. And you're waiting. And he's telling you, walk it. Walk one more mile with me. And you'll go to God. But if you don't walk through the threshold of this door, you understand you made your choice. And therefore, it is not what you have become, but it is what you have accepted to be, and so be. And that message applies to any team, any church, any family, any organization, and any heart that sits under the sound of my voice this morning. It is applicable. And the people who are not here this morning, the fragments of Lebanon Church, help me, church. I need a copy of this CD. You hear me? So you look around today, not who is missing in order to send them a card, but we need to send them a card. Help me with that. Can I trust you? But now here's the second thing. Miss Gail goes and makes a ready invitation. We're not going to sing a song. She's just going to start playing on the piano when she gets there. And I want you to stand with me. Now, can I show you one quick example of what it means to be in unity? There's a lot of different people in here this morning, a lot of different sizes, a lot of different looks, and guess what we all just did in one accord? We stood. You know how God's church is going to go any further? That we stand together. Not only at all the call, but when every challenge comes our way. That we sit in this cast together and we suffer together. Because remember, sometime when it swells, it helps us. It may not be exactly what we asked for, but God says this will make you grow. So don't just up and leave in a panic because it ain't going your way. This ain't Burger King. This ain't Burger King. And just because you got a Big Mac in the fridge, don't mean it's McDonald's. Listen to me. But there are people who will walk out of the task that God has formed because you're not getting your way. And the very thing that happened was intended to make you and I grow together as a church, and you got out of the moment. You want unity? You want to see the power of the Lord? You want to see the strength of God? When I say this morning, the surgeon walked into the room and he's asked you one question. Do you mind if I take a test? Now I want to know right now, what's your response? He's looking at you face to face this morning. You can't barely look at him because of the shame and the guilt. And he is telling you, Do you mind if I take a look this morning? He's already scrubbed in. Now he's ready. Do you mind if I take a look this morning? Do you mind if I take a look this morning? And I want to ask you this morning, what's your response? How will you respond? You going to pray about it? This ain't no time to pray. He's opened the door. He has said, let's go through it. Let's go through it.